by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Welcome back to the program. It is great to have your company this morning. And each Wednesday, Sammy, we have been going around the world and talking to some of the biggest names in world sport. It's been an absolute joy through the whole COVID as our competition closed down, the AFL competition and other sports had to be a bit more lateral. And we've been talking to some amazing people. It's been an absolute joy. And our producers have done it again today because this man who's about to join us is racing, car racing royalty, the only driver to win the Indy 500, the Daytona 500 and the Formula One World Championship.
Easy to talk about what he didn't win, Gary, which was nothing, basically. Yes, he won everything.
Any time that there was a vehicle with a motor in it and a race, Mario Andretti jumped in and he won, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. Mario, welcome to Australia.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you, Sam.
What a great thrill it is to have you on our program this morning. Now, you're in Pennsylvania at the moment. How have you negotiated these difficult times in the past couple of months?
Well, we're trying to make the best of it, you know, keeping very busy. Actually, I'm doing Zooms all over the world. You know, that's one way to travel nowadays, you know, through the internet. And keeping very busy. Actually, started writing my memoirs. I figure, you know, this would probably be a good time to be able to just sit down and devote some time to do that. So that's part of it. But overall, as I say, you know, we do the best we can, but we're ready to be released. As I told Trent, you know, I think things are opening up, you know, some motor racing already started here, and so we look forward to that. That's our life after all.
Indeed.
And, yeah, even though it started with no spectators, but that's going to change, I'm sure, sooner than later. So anyway, you know, we'll just try, like the rest of the world, survive it all, make the best of it, and but we're ready to go to work now, for sure.
We are. Your memoirs would be a fascinating read. Where would you start it? What would be the first chapter? Would it be when you were born in Italy and you came to America when you were 15? What's your earliest memory of how you fell in love with car racing?
Well, actually, it was while I was still in Italy, we were actually in a refugee camp for from 48 to 55, age 8 to 15. And as a young teenager, it was easy to fall in love with motor racing because, as you can imagine, even the early days of official Grand Prix racing, Italy was very much involved with Ferrari, Maserati, Alfa Romeo. And as a young lad, it just with my twin brother Aldo, it just captured our imagination. And and quite honestly, I always say that from there on, you know, the dream was born, and the pursuit never had a plan B. You know, it was had no idea, you know, how and when or if, but we never let go of our approach and our resolve, you know, to pursue this. And the best part is when we immigrated to America, you know, opportunity just, you know, was fabulous. It was right there to be taken advantage of, and that's it. You know, actually 4 years after we arrived to America, you know, I started racing in 59 and never looked back, you know, 59 until my very last competitive race in 2000 at 24 Hours of Le Mans.
To say it's humble beginnings, Mario, doesn't really do it justice, does it? But I was reading you and your mum, Rena, she said that you and Aldo, even when you were only 2 years old, it must have been instinctive. You'd go into the kitchen, you'd grab the pot lids out of the cupboards and you'd race them around the kitchen. You barely would have seen a car at that age.
Yeah, you know what? It's right. But at that time we were emulating some of the trucks that we have seen riding around the tight turns around our small town of Montona. And so One day, Aldo, it was the truck and I was the driver, and another day, it was vice versa. So that's how we learned how to drive around the kitchen. And I recommend that, by the way, because it really worked for us.
You mentioned when you first got into racing, when you moved, the family moved to America in Pennsylvania, as it was, just as luck would have it, there was a racetrack right around the corner, a bit different to what you would find in Europe. They were modified stock cars, but it was meant to be, wasn't it? That for all the places you could have moved, the racetrack was right there.
Indeed. You know, it's amazing. We arrived here in June. And we arrived on a Thursday, and it was a Sunday evening. We were at my uncle's house, and all of a sudden, I told this story many times, but all of a sudden I see, it was bright lights, in the back beyond maybe a mile away, and all of a sudden we hear an explosion of engines. Whoa! So Aldo and I looked at each other. And we booked, we just followed the noise and the lights, and we discovered this local racetrack. It was at the local fairgrounds, this brutish-looking modifieds. But the one of the races we had seen just before coming to the States, we had seen the Grand Prix of Monza, Formula One, and also we had seen the Mille Miglia, the 1,000-mile race, sports car race in Italy, which is the one that actually Stirling Moss won in Mercedes with his rider, which was the journalist. Dennis Jenkins. But anyway, looking at these cars, it looked actually quite doable in that sense. And 2 years later, we started building one.
Yeah,
and 2 years after that, we started racing it.
We're speaking with the great.
America, all of a sudden, it looked brilliant to us.
I'm sure it did. Hey, we're speaking with Mario Andretti, and it's a great joy. You drove for the likes of Lotus and Ferrari and Alfa and Williams. What was your favorite car to drive?
Oh,
well, anything you could win with, obviously. those are the ones you fall in love with. I had obviously good fortune with Lotus. Colin Chapman was the one that gave me the first opportunity when I asked for it, entered the third car. And in fact, on my first race, I put it on pole. So, it was a great beginning for me. And then later on, a couple of years later, I won for Ferrari the first race in South Africa. And I was inching into Formula One on a part-time basis because I was having a good career here in the States. And also, I think the earning power here was much greater than Formula One. So I had to be thinking about that as well, family and all that. It all just started to snowball for me in the right direction. I've been very blessed, quite honestly.
Mario, it's like trying to pick what kid's your favourite, isn't it? What child's your favourite? 111 checkered flags during your career. What is, to you now, what lives on most fondly with you? 1978 jumps off the page, the Formula One Drivers' Championship. You beat our Alan Jones and the great Niki Lauda as well. That must live fondly in your memory.
Oh, indeed. Obviously, at any time, the World Championship is obviously the ultimate goal for any racing driver, no question. And again, to go against champions like Niki and Alan Jones and so forth. Alan Jones obviously followed me on that, on that situation. You look back, the drivers that had the fortune to be able to compete against over the decades, something that puts a lot of, a lot of premium on those experiences for me. Just lucky that I was around, able to be able to to complete all these seasons and pretty much, fortunate enough to obtain all of my most ambitious goals, really.
Did you ever? Why is it, Mario, that no more Americans haven't competed at Formula One, and you were the last winner back in 1978, the last American to win a Formula One race?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question, but when you look back at, America has, three major, the disciplines that you could probably make a career in any one of them without even owning a passport, really. You have the Indy cars, which has, you have some Aussies there that are very, very popular here, as you know. You know, one in Will Power, for instance, has been champion, and he's satisfied with his career just being here. And and again, you have stock cars, like something similar to what you have in Australia with supercars, and then there's sports prototypes also with IMSA, you know. And so basically, you could satisfy a career just by being here. And then for some reason, American drivers are not really rated by the European, by the Formula One teams, and I think they're missing out on some of the talents, quite honestly. Especially there's some ongoing right now, but nevertheless, it is what it is. I love to see, I think, America represented again in Formula One. I think it'd be good for Formula One as well. Quite honestly, but you never know. Again, there's a slim picking in Formula One. You know, if you want to win, you're going to be with one of the top three teams. You know, if you miss out on that, you're not going to be able to bring results. So that's the problem. When I was doing it part time and I had those opportunities, most of the time I was with a top team. You know, when I started out with Lotus. And then with Ferrari, I had some, with March or whatever. They didn't go so well. But when I was with a proper team, something capable of bringing results, I brought in some results.
Mario, the speed, the power, the danger of car racing, is there room for fear racing at that level?
Well, if you have fear, as you say fear, you don't belong in that business. I mean, not that you have to be fearless and stupid. You have to be a little crazy, perhaps. But you still you have to have, number one, willing to accept this, the danger aspect that is there for sure. But that's also the challenge that drives you, to be able to be part of it and the fascination of it all. I mean, that's what drove me, during decades where the safety was not what we're enjoying today either, but it was just the love and the passion drove me beyond all that potential negative aspect. But if you dwell on that, fear, as you say, you just don't belong in that business because you're a danger to yourself and to others by being potentially tentative as well.
Mario, it's just so great to hear your voice. We have a message that's come through whilst we've been talking to you, and it says, as a young boy from Nazareth, Pennsylvania, please ask Mario Andretti about driving around in his Lamborghini. My mates and I would hang out to see him at his house, as his house was across the street from my primary school. So it's a small world.
Small world, yes. Yeah.
What are you driving now at 80 years of age?
Well, I do have a Lamborghini Aventador. I have a Corvette ZR1, and I treat myself with sports cars. Obviously, I'm a car guy, and yeah. I enjoy that. And nothing has changed. I don't look at the number of age. So far I haven't given up much. So I'm still enjoying life at its fullest.
There wouldn't be too many 80-year-olds, Mario, on Twitter, on Instagram. And I think you just, as is custom now, given the state of the world we have, is that you took part in some e-racing as well.
Yeah, I was talked into that one too. It's fun. It's fun, obviously, to be able to, to venture into some areas that potentially are not totally my comfort level, but But it's always a nice challenge, and I'm just purely having fun with it. And it seems like on the off season, probably that's going to become very popular again, which is great. It's great for the sport. And yeah, why not? You know, I can. I'm on a simulator, and I can go from Spa to Monza, and I can be at Coda in Texas and Indianapolis all at the same day.
Exactly. And what about if I dropped into the Andretti Winery in the Napa Valley? What sort of drop would I be looking for there?
Well, we'll treat you with some Sangiovese first, okay?
Oh. Ooh. What about a Fiano? Do you grow a Fiano?
Fiana?
Fiano. It's an Italian white wine that one of my colleagues I work with has got some grapes here in Victoria. He says it's the best wine in the world.
Fiana. That's a new one for me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get him to send you a bottle of his Fiano wine, and then you can give us your assessment.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
It is a great joy. We can't thank you enough for talking to us. We've got so many people who are texting through while you're talking saying how thrilled they are to be able to hear you on Australian radio. So stay safe. You're 80 years of age, going strong, and we appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Mario.
Thanks so much. The great Mario Andretti. And Sammy, I don't know about you, but if I get to 80 and I'm still driving in e-races and water skiing and playing tennis and driving around in a Lamborghini, then life's pretty good.
That's a living legend right there, isn't it? Yes. Mario Andretti, lucky to have him. I mean, the guy's got races named after him. He's played himself on television. He's been in movies. He's in lyrics to dozens of songs. I remember racing Mario Andretti on the Sega Genesis, Gaz, back in the day.
I did ask you, and you can tell me after this break, whether Mario Kart was named after the great man. Don't answer me now. Answer me after this break.